Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to talk about fear and how it can sometimes stop us from functioning at work. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with a question from a manager who hired someone who she now finds scary and intimidating.
Eek.
Yeah. Then we'll discuss the different ways that fear can interfere with our performance.
Yeah, fear is such a powerful emotion, and it can literally take over our sympathetic nervous system, resulting in the classic flight or fight response. Mm-hmm. I think we can add freeze to that, too. If someone or something triggers intense fear, it's hard to literally think straight.
Yeah.
I hope listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Logan, what's our question?
I find myself in a very strange situation at work. I manage 10 people, but one of them makes me uncomfortable and scares me. She seemed promising during the interview because she presented herself as very capable and knowledgeable. Shortly after she began working for me, however, she started blaming me for everything that she didn't accomplish on the job. She even went to my boss and complained about me. I'm afraid to complain about this person because I'm the one who hired her. What do I do?
I think this is complicated. I don't think it's that simple.
No.
Because the manager is the one in control. And I sometimes think that, there are crazy people out there, and this may be a really crazy employee, but I think it also triggers something in us as a manager, that it's triggering something in this manager that the fear is coming that maybe wouldn't affect every manager.
Why? I was thinking the same
thing. Oh, my God. Did I just take your spot?
Not at all. Not at all. No. But what I was thinking was that often, and we used to talk about this in hiring when we worked with business owners, how people will, you'll be attracted to something that feels familiar, mm-hmm. but then it could turn into something very fearful.
Yeah.
Right. And when someone behaves like this for this individual who's managing her, it probably triggers intense fear, but even historical fear, historical reactions.
Right.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're managing somebody or work with somebody that you're having a stronger reaction to than those around you, like others around you may say, yeah, they're a bit of a jerk, but they're not having a stronger reaction, then they may be just tripping some wire in you. So I just wrote down a bunch of fears that I think get tripped at work. Mm. A fear of inadequacy is one. And I think as a manager, sometimes somebody can push you that way. Somebody mm-hmm. can make you feel inadequate as a manager. Mm-hmm. And then that, set you off. Mm-hmm. A fear of failure, fear of change or something bad happening or being judged. That's another one. Or losing control, rejection, uncertainty.
Yeah.
But I think it's the inadequacy. I think that's the one that really trips up a lot of managers when a boss starts to accuse them of doing things wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean an employee or
a boss.
That's
what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. When an employee starts accusing a manager of always being the problem and making them look bad, I think it triggers certain fears in the manager rather than just feeling confident and saying, you're the poor performer here and turning the tables on that person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the other thing, the historical part of this is you may as a manager be someone who takes, say, 95% of the responsibility for any outcome. Whereas this person you've hired takes no responsibility. And so when they start saying you're the problem, there's some part of you that fears that they must be right.
That's right.
Yeah. So going to that inadequacy thing, there's something wrong with me to begin with. And now this employee is pointing it out to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to others.
And to others.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what I hear in this, that you feel intimidated and you fear this person, unless they're truly crazy and they're carrying, a weapon or something.
Yeah.
You're the one with the upper hand.
So, Kathy, what do you counsel someone who's in this kind of a position?
I think they have to put this person on a tight leash. So,
first go buy the collar.
literally what I mean is that they demand to see what they're doing, you know, whether it's accountability. So maybe on a weekly, they have to give a report of what they're going to do and what they have done. Yeah. So that you give them very little room to think on their own, that you really micromanage them. And the facts will be there. They either are delivering or not.
So I think that's really interesting because I think going back to how fear triggers the sympathetic nervous system and may cause us to want to either flee or fight, it sounds like for this person, if they're scared, they want to flee. Mm-hmm. And what you're really saying is don't back away, move forward. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Move forward and confront the person in terms of their actual performance. So like stick to the job, right?
That's right. That's right. And you know, have them show you the facts. Because if you're dealing in these accusatory things with somebody who works for you, where are the facts? Like what, you know, show me that. It's my fault.
Right.
I think it's your fault. So this person should really produce documents showing what they're doing and what they're not doing so that you know they can't fight with that. That's why this tells me there's something else going on that's on a deeper level. Yeah.
Well, that's what's interesting is I think when we get emotionally triggered, we instead of thinking in professional ways, we think in personal ways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the boss in this picture may be afraid for her reputation, afraid for how she's being perceived by everyone else. You know, she's so caught up in her personal experience here that she's failing to literally address the job and the situation at hand.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, just to be fair, there are crazy employees that, you know, she may be working on this manager to really disarm them because, you know, some lazy people do this. This is what they spend their time at work doing, pointing the finger at everybody else. Everyone else is the problem. And they collect a paycheck and don't do much more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that could be going on, but you can't allow that to happen.
Right. So how do you deal with the emotional?
Yeah, that's the
hard
one.
How do you deal with the uncomfortability and fear?
Yeah, so that is the part where it goes back to drawing on some of the techniques that we've written about in both our books, Working With You Is Killing Me and Working For You Isn't Working For Me, which is you have to do things literally to change your energy, your energetic system, to address the fear, to soothe your nervous system, and then to come to the present. Because the fact is that there's a term that fear is false evidence appearing real. So the fearful brain is like blowing this thing into, you know, like, she's going to kill me, you know, great heights, where what you really need to do is calm your system down enough. Bless you, Kathy, take the situation and break it down into its smaller parts.
Okay.
And I think sometimes it's very important. I know, Kathy, you've helped several people in these kinds of situations.
Yeah, I see this all the time. I think you have to seek a professional when this kind of thing happens. And it could be short term.
Yeah.
But I think whether a therapist or an executive coach, somebody who can see it for you, stay away from your family and friends because they've seen it too many times.
Because that's the other thing.
Well, they might be the ones that...
Exactly. If you're feeling hysterical, it's usually historical, right? You don't want to go to the hypercritical parent who always told you were doing things wrong for advice in this kind of situation.
Right.
All right. So we're saying this is that you want to stick to the job, you want to stick to documentation, and we're also saying you may want to get support, whether an executive coach or therapist, but someone to help you manage the emotional part of this, which is can be very intense and can literally make it hard for you to think straight.
Yeah.
And to not feel guilty, because I feel like a lot of people accidentally hire people wrong for the culture or wrong. You know, there's a lot of people out there who know how to put a good face on for the interview, and then they end up being someone that they're not.
Yeah.
Are you going to say that's like dating? I mean, this is usually when Catherine...
This is when I come in with
waiting
it.
Waiting for it.
Wait for it. Yeah, actually, because people will say a lot during a first date that it has nothing to do with reality. But yes, people will say a lot during an interview that has nothing to do with who they really are. And I think the thing that's interesting here, that this individual is saying, I'm afraid to complain about this person because I'm the one who hired her. Mm-hmm. So you, again, as a manager, may fearing that you are inadequate, may feel like you have to hold standards, like you can't make a mistake. Mm-hmm. You can't admit that you made a mistake or that you did a bad hire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a hard one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
And you may have gone to bat for this person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, the quicker you know that you made a mistake, a hiring mistake, the quicker you should get out of it.
Yeah.
For all parties. I feel like this employee has the boss as a hostage right now.
Yes. Mm. Well, and this is the thing that's interesting, is that I think those individuals, I don't know about this particular one, but very often the people who you interview who promise a lot, like give you the sense that I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to take care of this department, I'm going to handle things, mm-hmm. they can often turn out to be the worst hires.
Always?
Not always, but it's like if that's your, you know, if that's your song, that you never feel like you're supported and you always wish someone would take over, mm-hmm. then when someone offers that, they're sort of picking up on that, I think. Mm-hmm. And those individuals, I guess it's a numbers game. I just see consistently that when someone really promises you a lot, especially I'll just take care of it, mm-hmm. it's often not a good thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah, this behavior that, you know, you're seeing at work where the person is the finger pointer and, you know, puts fear and intimidation in people, that doesn't show on the interview.
No.
Those people tend to interview well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you're checking references. I hope you're really, not the ones they give you, but the ones that, you know, just call these different companies, and you can't always find out that much. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think you get the point, which is that this is more about the managers getting some wire tripped.
Yes.
Yes.
And because I think if the person hadn't instilled fear in them, they would have handled it normally. They would have just said, okay, this person is an underperformer, so I'm going to give them a 30-day, you know, pip, and that'll be the end of it, and you move on. So there's something else going on here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just one last thing I would say is I think it's important to also forgive yourself for your fear, you know.
For being human.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And for maybe feeling inadequate and, you know, not to say, well, you can't do that or I can't acknowledge that because that would be weakness. Better to acknowledge and get support than shut the door.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we'll just switch now into when fear stops you from functioning at work. And I think everybody can relate to this. Mm. Everybody has days where they have fear of, I'm going to go over the list again that I gave, because we all have so many fears.
It's beautiful, really.
Just a bundle of fears. Yes. Well, fear of inadequacy is a big one.
Yes.
Fear of things being uncertain. Fear of rejection. Fear of failure, making a mistake. Fear of missing out. You know, the big FOMO thing. fear of change. Fear of something bad happening. You have a gut. Like, that's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being judged. That's a very big one. I hear that a lot.
And I'd like to put another version of that is the fear of looking bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or being shamed by someone.
Oh,
a lot
that's
of people have a lot of fear of that.
Yeah, and losing control. So, I mean, there's probably more than that, but that's a pretty big categorical list there of what we fear every day going into work, that one of these things are going to pop up.
How do we make it through the day?
So what do we do? Well, how do we compensate when we have fear going on? I mean, I think we don't always act right.
Mm. No, we don't. I mean, I think the first thing is to just become familiar with what your fears are. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I know, Kathy, you practice, and I also practice, and I was going to say the act of gratitude, which is a funny thing. You wouldn't think it's a fear cutter, but in a lot of ways, I think it helps because it shows you what you do have, not what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's just a lot of things you can do, whether it's exercise, whether it's meditation, whether it's yoga, whether it's a grounding exercise, but whatever can bring you into the present. Because usually when you're in fear, you're either fearful about something that used to happen or mm-hmm. could, or you're projecting fear about something that would happen, mm-hmm. will happen. So coming into the present moment, I do this a lot with clients who are just in a panic mode, which is like, put your feet on the ground, put your hand on the table. Mm-hmm. What's the day? Where are you sitting? What did you just finish doing? Like, come into the present moment, mm-hmm. rather than projecting about what's coming down the pike. Mm-hmm.
I try to get people also to own it. You know, yeah. the only way through fear is to walk through fear. It doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And many times the fear of the fear is greater than the actual getting up and speaking,
yes.
or yeah. you know, handing in a report that's maybe not 100% to your liking.
Right.
So you can own it, and by maybe letting somebody know, oh, I'm really scared.
Yes.
And that sometimes dispels it a little bit at work, and people go, what are you talking about? You're great. You know,
yeah.
and let others support you. But I think naming it, owning it many times will help. Mm.
Yes. It's that's better than doing the trash compactor version of,
yeah.
you know, trying to push it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or just staying home sick, or, you know, coming up with some kind of ridiculous lie.
Right. Yeah.
You know, why you can't do that thing that you're afraid to do. Mm-hmm. People see through that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the thing that's interesting is when you do acknowledge your fear, like sometimes people will come, start talk, you know, give a speech and they'll say, I'm nervous. And that is part, yeah. you know, they're admitting their humanity, but they're also sort of bringing everyone with them. Like, yeah. okay, sure. we'll support yeah. you. You can do this. Mm-hmm. So there's power in actually yep. sharing how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think fear is universal. Everybody's going to understand that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, only jerks are going to say, well, you know,
you jerk.
You're such a jerk. What do you mean you're afraid? I mean, basically everybody relates to that. And will most likely support you. Stay away from the ones that aren't.
Yeah.
All right. So we're saying acknowledge the fears, do things to soothe your system and calm the fears. Maybe become familiar of your most common fears, and get support along the way.
Yep.
Yes.
So that's it for this podcast. If you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, tweet us at AskK2, A-S-K-K, and the number 2. Also, follow us on Instagram at MyCrazyOffice.
If you want to receive our podcast email, please text us at 228-28 and type in MyCrazyOffice. That's all one word, MyCrazyOffice, at 228-28.
And finally, don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.